Well, as I was sharing, the title for this message is Commanding Faith, and we're really, this will be a third part. And as we've been sharing in our messages, that being in the right position allows you to be in authority over something. So God, through our new birth in Christ and accepting Christ as our Savior, has positioned us, as the scripture shares, that we've been raised from the dead. It says, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. This is in Ephesians. And that when he died, in other words, it said, when he was raised from the dead, we were raised with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we're not physically there, but potentially we're still here in the earth. The body of Christ is here in the earth to fulfill and to continue his ministry, the work of the spreading of the kingdom of God, and to reach all those men and women and children that he died for. And so he's looking for the body of Christ to operate in the authority that he operated with here in the earth. And so as we have looked at those lessons, we started by saying authority is really just delegated power, but he gave us power or authority to operate in this earth. And just as you look at just one example comes to mind in Matthew 8, where it talks about the centurion who came to him in the New Living, and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Just say the word. Just speak the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Wow. I mean, if we did that today, just speak the word, and I'll be healed. That's faith. But what is verse 9? This was the crux of this. He said, I know this. He's saying to Jesus, I know this authority you have. He says, I'm under the authority of what? My superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, and come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. So what he was saying is that he was in essence saying here, Jesus, I know that you are under authority to someone else. And because of that authority, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Hallelujah. And Jesus went on to say, I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel. So that kind of authority has been conferred to us. We have been seated in heavenly places in Christ. So we have a superior, you could say a superior officer. In this case, it's God. He is our Father, and we report to him. He's the head of the church. Well, he conferred that to Jesus. He's the head over all things. And so this word command, when we talk about the word command, it means to give orders. It means to dominate as if from an elevated place. It is the authority or right to command. So we've been given the right to command here in the earth, what? In the name of Jesus. And using that authority that was given to us. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, I want to go back over a few scriptures. I think it's important for this lesson again. In Ephesians chapter 1 in the King James, verse 17 through 23, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, now this is Paul praying, lifting up the church of Ephesus, praying for them, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Know what? What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and what else? And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Where does that fullness fill? His fullness filleth the body. Now let's look at this one more, verse 22 in the New Living Translation. It kind of expresses it, I think, the way the King James doesn't, but let's look at this. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him. Who did this? God did. And God made him, Christ, head over all things for what? The benefit of the church. It wasn't for the benefit of God or Jesus. It was for our benefit. So this divine power that was given or conferred upon us, so this power and this authority has been given to us, and we can face, we could say, the enemy, the devil, and obstacles without fear or hesitation. Jesus never hesitated when he spoke to the winds or he spoke to the demon-filled people. He commanded them to leave. He commanded those demons to be removed from those individuals. And he commanded the elements to change, to cease. And in Luke chapter 10 and verses 17 through 20, it says, and this is here where Jesus conferred this power to his disciples here. He said, and the 70, after he told them to go out, he conferred this upon 70, sent them out. At the beginning of chapter 10, it says he sent them out two by two. And then further down in 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power, that word power is authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, verse 20, he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, that means there, they have a place or a position in because their names are written in heaven. So Jesus is saying, don't rejoice because they are subject unto you and they respond. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. That's what gives you a place of authority. Glory to God. So we went back Sunday, and I'll just bring this up again. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it just says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:13, our faith has to be expressed, and that faith cannot be just expressed by believing. So we see in the scripture here, he said, we having what? The same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So faith must be expressed. If we're talking about faith, there must be believing and there must be speaking accompanied to it. That is what faith's expression is, believing and speaking. If you just believe, it's not going to work for you. I don't want to bust your bubble, but if you're just saying, well, I'm just believing God, and you don't say something, then we read on Sunday that faith without a corresponding action of speaking is just dead. It's alone. It's separated from the believing has to be accompanied by speaking. You have to speak what you believe. And that, as we were sharing, faith expresses, or faith releases, the power of God. God's word is full of his power. And when we speak it, we release God's ability into our circumstance and situation that we're faced with. So just believing that God's going to do something is not enough. I've got to speak and say, God is doing something. Not I believe he's going to do something. God is working in my midst. He is changing this. He's changing my body. He's changing my finances. He's changing something that's an obstacle in my life. And that's based upon the promises of God. And we're going to expand a little bit right now, a little more. We're going to read this. John 15 and verses 1 through 7. Glory to God. John 15, verses 1 through 7. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. So we can't bear any fruit except we stay abiding or connected in the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth more fruit, much fruit. For without me, or you could say without the word, he is the word, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Glory to God. When it says here, if you abide in me and my words, this word is rhema. This is the revealed word of God, not something you memorized. So when the rhema word of God abides in you, you shall do what? When faith comes, when revelation comes, we speak, we demand, we require something because God's word has been revealed. And so that's what this is saying. If you abide in me and my revelation word abides in you, you shall require, demand, you shall speak what you will, and what? It shall be done unto you. Oh, that sounds like Mark 11, 22 and 23. Glory to God. I was sharing this on Sunday, something that Reinhard Bonnke, when he was alive, he shared this early part of his ministry. He shared something that he felt that, you know, he was filling in for somebody, I believe the story goes, the context of this, and he felt inadequate. He felt like, what have I got to say? How can I have an impact? And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit said to him when he was meditating on this, on, you know, just kind of feeling inadequate. He said, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. This is what the Holy Spirit said to him. My words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. So the Holy Spirit spoke this to him. We could say the same thing. God's word in our mouths is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. So we have to believe when it's revealed. We believe and then we speak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God has said in his word, he said, for as the rain cometh down, as Isaiah 55:10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to who? The sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall do what? It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Glory to God. So God has said that you speak it, if you speak his word, he is going to make it come to pass. Glory to God. You speak it in faith, it shall come to pass. Glory to God. And God has told us in his word that we're not only heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with him, with Christ. And so this, in the Passion Translation, it says for in Romans 8, 16, 17, it says, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, as being heirs of God, we qualify, see, this is one of the things I want to add to this evening. And since we are indeed his children, it says we are heirs of God himself. I'm sorry, it says since we are his true children, we qualify to share all of his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. Glory to God. So we share this authority. All that authority that's been given to Christ, he shared that with his body so that we can go forth in his power, his anointing, and his authority to do what? Take back and to take back what the devil is trying to steal and to do in this earth. Now, Matthew 18, 18, I want to expand on this today. Matthew 18, 18, I saw this on Sunday and Monday. In the King James, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the King James. But I want us to look at again and look at this in the Amplified Classic. And this, I think, is the revelation that's just big in me here. In the Amplified Classic, it says in verse 18, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and do what? Declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must what? Be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper, or you could say aloud, and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. I'm going to read this again. Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So we've been given some direction here that we are to forbid something and we are to allow something. Whatever we forbid must be something that's already forbidden in heaven. And whatever we allow or declared proper, it must be something that's allowed or declared proper in heaven. Well, let's just stop and think about this a minute. What is declared, what is forbidden in heaven? Glad you asked. Death is forbidden in heaven. Sickness is forbidden in heaven. Disease is forbidden in heaven. Lack is forbidden in heaven. Poverty is forbidden in heaven. Worry is forbidden in heaven. Fear is forbidden in heaven. Hate is forbidden in heaven. And we could go on. What is permitted in heaven? Love, joy, peace, everlasting life, abundant life. Those things are permitted in heaven. So if any of these issues, and this is where I want to expand here. If any of these issues begin to present themselves in your life, in your body, and they are not permitted in heaven, what are we supposed to do? Forbid them. We are to command them to leave, to cease. That's the command right there. If it's not allowed in heaven, it shouldn't be allowed in me. And if it is allowed in heaven, then because I'm a joint, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, he said that I should do what? We qualify to share in all the treasures and blessings that have been afforded us. Glory to God. So I want to just look for a few minutes at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 14. I want to look at this in the King James and then the Passion Translation. And I believe you'll see something, and this is going to set some people free in the name of Jesus. So in the King James, starting in verse 9 of Colossians 2, says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through what? Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you," what? "All trespasses." He forgave you all trespasses. Now, verse 14. "Blotting out," he forgave you all trespasses, "and he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's read this in the Passion Translation. Glory. It says, "For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form." Ooh, boy, glory to God. "And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. Now here's verse 14 in the Passion Translation. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Ooh. Uh-huh. Everything we once were in Adam, has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Glory to God. So let me ask this question. Well, let me make this point. The record of our sins and sicknesses against us has been erased. They've been what? Deleted. And they cannot be retrieved. Glory to God. This is what he's saying. He forgave us. In the King James, it says that he took it out of the way. So this here in the Passion Translation, he said, he erased it, all of our sins, our stained souls, and he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. No evidence in heaven of sickness on our record. No evidence in heaven of our sin in heaven. No evidence in heaven of our poverty in heaven. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been expunged, it's been deleted, and it cannot be retrieved. Hallelujah. And so the point we're making here is that when evidence shows up in your life that's contrary to what you've been forgiven for, then you have a right to stand up and say, I forbid that in my life. I forbid this sickness. I forbid this poverty. I forbid this lack of wisdom, because it has been given to me and it has been nailed. This that was against us was nailed to the cross as a public display of cancellation. Glory to God. So the devil can try to bring up stuff, but you, as the body of Christ, need to stand up, is what it said. That which is improper and unlawful. It's unlawful for the devil to bring up things that you've been forgiven for, and then you have to stand up. If you don't know any better, then you're going to say, oh, well, I guess, you know, and you'll just open the door up and let him come in and beat you up. But if you know who you are in Christ, then you can stand up and say, no, there's no evidence of that in heaven. It's been expunged. You know, when they say expunged, when records are expunged, they're completely destroyed. They cannot be retrieved. So when you have someone that's been in the prison system or maybe something was unlawfully done, and when their records are expunged, that means they're completely destroyed. They can't be found. They're eliminated. They're destroyed. They're blotted out. They're erased. They're canceled. And so when we have our records canceled in heaven and the devil tries to do something here in the earth, you have the right and the authority that Jesus gave you. He said, that which is forbidden on earth must be something that's improper and forbidden in heaven. What's forbidden in heaven? We just got done sharing. Sickness, disease, poverty, fear, lack. Well, what also is forbidden? Somebody to bring up something about your past that's been expunged. So these things here, we need to grab hold of in life and say, now, wait a minute. I've been forgiven of that. There's no record. There's no evidence against me regarding sickness and disease. Then I command it to leave. I say it's going to be this way in my body. I say it's going to be this way in my finances. I say it's going to be this way. And this is why when we look at having faith in God, where we're talking about Mark 11, 20, 22 and 23, when it talks about having faith in God, and whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. What needs to be removed? Those things that come up as evidence against you that are unlawful. You have a right to say, I command this to leave. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and you doubt not. Why am I doubting not? I believe the word that said, my record's been expunged. And so I have a right to stand up, believe in my heart that those things that I say shall come to pass, I shall have whatever I say. Glory to God. So one thing in just closing and making this, that when we talk about providing, proving something, Romans 12, 2, in the King James, it says, and be not, this is the King James, and be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. How are you going to know what God's will is? Your mind has to be renewed. That what? That you may do what? Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How are we going to prove that God's will is, or just here, we just read, he's forgiven all of our sins. He's literally erased and eradicated things that were held against us. How are you going to prove that? You need to read and have your mind renewed so that you can now take this authority that's been given to you and operate in this commanding faith, this commanding position that God has placed us in. He's freed us. He has redeemed us. He has set us free, and he's canceled all, as this is said, every legal violation that was against us and on our record. He canceled it. And he deleted it all so that it cannot be retrieved. So there's nothing, unless you just step over and get over into the devil's territory, well, that's a different story. And so once you become knowledgeable of who you are in Christ, you need to stand up and say, I'm free, I'm redeemed, I'm set free, and all that's been charged against me has been erased. It's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that has eradicated and set me free. He deleted it, and those things that were against us, that were indicting us, they can't be retrieved. Glory to God. So what am I saying? Every time evidence comes up against you that contradicts the word of God, you need to stand up and say, I command every instance of evidence, I command you to leave me, because that evidence is false evidence. It's untrue evidence, just like they would do in a court of law. So glory to God. I hope this helps you, because we need to start taking our authority. This divine authority that's been conferred upon us. It's been given to us so that we can march forward. Just like David ran at Goliath, he didn't cower. He wasn't afraid of the giant. He ran towards him. And we need to, in the same way, not be afraid of things that the devil would try to bring up. We've been set free from it. His power has been stripped. His power, where he said, he made an open show of him, the devil, triumphing over them in the cross. Glory to God. So I just hope, go back and listen to this again. Go back and look at the scriptures in Matthew 18:18 in the Amplified, and also in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14 in the Passion Translation. And begin to look at that and see some additional light that you can try to grow in this area and see that you've all evidence that's been charged against you has been eradicated. It's been expunged. Glory to God. No record in heaven of your sickness or disease. Why? Because it's been paid for. It was paid with Jesus' stripes. And with his shed blood, he remitted our sins. He paid for them. So in heaven, there's no record of our sins. There's no record of things that were held against us. It's been paid for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, again, I hope you got a little something. I began to see something here in the area of commanding faith and the evidence sometimes that the devil tries to bring up and to make a lot of noise saying, you know, this is going on, this is happening, this will never change. You know, I was sharing on Sunday that sometimes mountains can look very imposing and they can block your view of things. And so sometimes, you know, and others ministers have said this, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. You've got to keep speaking what you believe. Amen. Glory to God. So Father, I thank you for this word. I believe those that have listened and will listen will see additional light and will be set free and will walk in this position of command or commanding faith in Christ. And will take back things that the devil has tried to put on them and steal from them, their joy and their peace and their health and their life and their money. I believe that they will see the light in this and stand up and command it to change in the name of Jesus. And we rejoice in it. Amen. Now, before we just move on, I would just want to extend to those that are watching, those that may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I would just say the scripture, it says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in thine heart, you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, and you believe that and confess that and say that with your mouth, the scripture says you'll be saved. So I say this, let's say this together, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is your son. You sent him here to die for the sins of mankind and to destroy the works of the devil. And so, Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe that he took my sins and my sicknesses, and took them to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for, he was released from hell, and the power of God raised him to new life. He was the firstborn among many brethren. And so, Father, I thank you that I believe that Jesus comes into my heart. I receive him. I ask him to come into my heart. Make something new of me. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. And I believe this day that I'm saved. Glory to God. If you said that simple prayer and you don't remember ever doing that, or you recommitted your life to the Lord Jesus, then just contact us and see the information on the screen. We'll send you some information as to who you've become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.